to share with you today that our teen choir will actually be meeting. There is a change. They will be practicing today at 4 o'clock. So make note of that. I want to just remind you this morning, take note of your bulletin. There are some changes in there. You need to pay attention. Look in that bulletin. Of course, if you don't have some, there'll be some at the door on your way out today. But there are some changes. Now, next Sunday, we're actually going to be having a large river baptism. Next Sunday. Listen, we don't know if the creek's going to dry up or what, but I'm going to tell you what. We'll talk to Swink down there, let him dump something in the river, and we'll go down there and we'll get baptized. Amen. It's going to be a good time in the Lord. Next Sunday morning, we go into the saints is going down to the river. Boy, that's good. That means us now. Don't you be going by that bridge on 50. Let me tell you how to get there real quick. When you leave here and you go out, like you're going back out to Hubs out there where most of you eat stuff, and you get out to the light out there, you go left like you're going toward Kyler. Don't mean you got to be one, but you're headed that way. And when you get to the bridge, your first bridge there, right underneath there, there's a landing there. We're going to be going down there. Don't know who will be down there, but I can tell you who's going to be down there. Amen. We're going to be going down there having a river baptism. We've been there before several years ago. But we have some, we're going down there, some that's never been baptized before, amen? And we're going to go down there and have a baptism in the river, and I expect for our people to be there. I don't care if you're the one getting baptized or not, you might get there and get the moving of the Holy Spirit of God and say, look here, brother, I can't go home, but I get in there with you. You know, we go on down there, we're going to have some baptism, and I've never been in the river like that before. If something brushed my leg, I might just let out a holler, amen? Hey! If I start putting my hands up before somebody gets in the water, it might mean I need help. So don't you be one of these people that's riding across there and blowing the horn, okay? You stop in and you make plans next Sunday. You go into the river down there and you're going to witness this occasion, amen? So you plan ahead of time. This morning, we're talking about heaven. And we're going to look at heaven this morning in a different light. This morning, we're going to begin and I'm going to be jumping all over the place. If I start losing, you just stop and listen, okay? Because we do record these, and we have DVD, CDs. You feel free to get a copy. Don't charge you a thing. We just want to get the gospel out. Amen? But I want to talk to you this morning about things that you have that are already in heaven. Things that you have that are already in heaven ahead of you. You're not there yet. But did you realize that you've got some things that are already in heaven? So may we entitle this time together this morning, It's Already There. It's already there. This morning, I want to begin this morning by sharing with you, and I'm going to just dive right in this morning, okay? I don't have a story for you, but this morning I want to just dive right into the Word of God because this is the greatest story, right? Amen. Malachi 3:16, the Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Now, would you bow your souls with me just a moment in a word of prayer that God will bless His Word. Father, this morning we thank You for this occasion. What a grand occasion it is, O Lord, that we're able to leave our homes, leave our workplaces, and we're able to come here on this Christian Sabbath, on this Sunday. And Lord, we're able to come in here and worship the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And today, Lord, I pray that You'll take this time and this word. May You bless it. May it be instilled in our hearts that we may be better than we were at the time we walked in the door. And Lord, may we be more like Your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you the first thing in Malachi 3:16. You have your praise that is already in heaven. Your praise is already in heaven. Wait a minute, preacher, you mean God keeps up with that? Well, look at this very carefully. I want to dissect this verse in three ways and we'll move on. The first thing is, this verse says that they that fear the Lord. Now, fearing the Lord, of course, you know, means to reverence God. You've got respect for Him. Okay? That means you've got respect for God's house. You've got respect for God's name and God's people. And you reverence God. Those who fear the Lord, it is those who say, I will depart from my evil ways and my evil thoughts and consecrate myself unto God because I reverence myself to Him. First and foremost. Secondly, we see that those who, and we're looking on in Malachi 3:16, that those who spoke often to one another. Those who get together and strengthen their hands together. Listen, we're supposed to edify the body, build the body up. Lest someone we got brothers and sisters who are on the verge, who are on the verge of maybe quitting church or quitting their position or quitting their responsibility. It is our jobs as brothers and sisters. He put us together for a reason. And it's not just to come and worship God. That's our first and foremost. But it is for us to encourage and strengthen one another's hands together with the Word of God and God Himself. So those who meet often with one another and speak of Him, giving Him praise. Thirdly, you see that those who thought on His name. I love this part. Are you with me this morning? The last part of verse 16 says that those who thought on His name. Listen, you didn't even speak it. You didn't even write it down. But you thought it inside of you. Your meditation in your heart. And God is aware of your thoughts. Now sometimes some of you are squirming in your seat. Well, you mean tell me He knows what I'm thinking? Yes, He does. But listen, for those of you who mean it for good, may we rejoice with one another. Because it is those who meditate in their hearts that He is the Lord. What happens when all this happens? You see these three occasions where those who reverence God, those who speak one with another about God, and those who think on His name. What does He do? He takes it, and there is, the Bible says in Malachi 3:16, and a book of remembrance was written before Him. So there is more than just the book of life. There are books in heaven. And in this book, may it be entitled, and may you be humored this morning, by a book of remembrance, when you, as His people, are praising God. Every time you have ever thought on His name, every time you have ever stopped for a moment at work or on your phone or anywhere with your husband, with your wife, with your family, it says, like we use right here sometimes, ain't God good? Hey, He makes record of that. It's in this book of remembrance and it's written down. I'm excited about it because I've said some good things about God. And He's got it written down there. Our praise is already in heaven where we long to be. That's good stuff. I'm excited. So there's a book now of remembrance with our praise. Yeah. Bible says in Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Books, plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. But watch this. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. We are judged by not what is written in the book of life, but when He opens the books in heaven, those will be judged by what's in those books. And here what He is doing in Revelation 20:12 is He is setting aside the book of life. And we are being judged out of the other books that have record of us in heaven. Your praise is in heaven, already there. And a record is made thereof. Secondly, your prayers. You have your praise in Malachi 3:16. But watch this with your prayers. This is good. Now you watch this now. Revelation 5:8. You feel free to turn to Revelation. We're going to be hanging out there a little bit. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders, or the 20 elders, fell down before the Lamb. This is where the 24 elders sit around the throne of God in heaven. They sit there, and it says that the Bible goes on to say in Revelation 5:8, and having every one of them harps, and having these golden vials full of odors. Now stop me just for a moment. The harps is a symbol of worship, of praise to God. So in the midst of your prayers being given to God, praise is being exemplified. So now the harps, every one of these 24 elders have. But it also says with them, they have the golden vials full of odors. What's a golden vial? It's a bottle. or watch this now, keep track of this, in a bottle. There are these bottles, and inside there's an odor. Well, what is the odor in the bottle? Which are the prayers of the saints. When you come into God's house on Wednesday night, or any other time, but let me put emphasis on Wednesday night. Many people don't look at Wednesday night as the highlight of the week of services. I have a tendency to agree, not just because of whom is speaking, but just because of the occasion. Because we come in here, we sit down, and everybody's got a lot of negative requests. There are always more petition than there are praise. And boy, when you sit around for a long time and you hear people talking about people with cancer, because everybody's got cancer, it's claiming a lot of people, or people's in remission of the cancer. And it just goes on and on and on. But when we, as God's people, we come in here and we pray, every prayer that is lifted up to God is taken and it is sealed inside this golden vial. It is in heaven. Your prayers are in a bottle. And do you remember the incense that was lit in the tabernacle when God set up the design of worship for Him? It was an incense. Something that He would smell into His nostrils. It is an aroma. And what happens is, who is the intercessor between us and God Almighty? Jesus. Well, Jesus is the intercessor. He's the mediator. He's the one that holds us together with reconciliation. And these actual prayers are given up to God. In what form? Let me read on in another verse. Revelation 8:4 says, "And the smoke of incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Don't take prayer lightly, church. Ye believers, ye saints, ye Christians, when you pray, it is permanent. It is forever. It is not just doing a responsibility. I hear some people almost going through the motions sometimes. Well, I better do this. I better fulfill because I told so-and-so at work I would pray for their mama. No. Take a different approach. Know that those prayers that you speak from your lips of clay are actually bottled up and put in this golden vial, and it is released in the presence of God Almighty out of the hands of the angels. Woo! That's good stuff! It's not just a cluster of words. It is not just a hope and a prayer. But it is presented. Can you imagine? Can you think about God for a minute? This is God! It's one who has no last name, but people give Him one. No respect, no reverence. And just like that, He could take you out of this world if He wanted to. Yeah, that's right. You may not claim Him, but He is your daddy. He puts you here. He can take you out if He wants to. But to be in the presence of God. I'm not there yet. I long to be there. When I see Christian believers go on in the Lord, I am envious because they have finished their race. They are now in the presence of God where I long to be. But I can rest assured and be encouraged on this day that my praise is in a book of remembrance before God Almighty even as I speak this morning. And my prayers or there in a bottle being released with incense and it becomes an aroma unto the very nostrils of God. Don't tell me it's not powerful because He breathed what you speak. It matters. And anything my God touches or deals with is absolute perfection. Then let us pray, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. You have your praise. You have your prayers. I also want to share with you your performance, thirdly. Well, this is your performance. I want you to go with me now to Job or Job. We're back in the Old Testament. In Job chapter 1, I won't read with you this here real quick, but this is good. I love to preach. I love it. Brother Martin, this is good. Brother Reedy, I love it. Brother Todd, I love it. The book of Job says, I want to show something. This is good. The Bible's, now not that I'm good, but his stuff, this is good. And the Bible says in Job chapter 1, and you put your finger on verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought the devil was bound in chains in hell. Oh no, friend. He's loose. Because God goes on to say in verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Wait a minute now. Who are the sons of God? The sons of God are angels with special assignments. They are these angels who have the assignments to report to God about your performance. Job is not the only man's name that is breathed in heaven. You know, as a believer, you have enlisted and enrolled in the army of God. You now belong to Christ. You are a Christian, and that is the very first part of your Christian name, Christ. You are conversation in heaven. Your name is reported by the sons of God in the midst of God when they have this meeting. In this meeting, your name is brought up because you are and supposed to be a born-again believer, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are a topic. They breathe your name. I love it here how Satan comes. Now, Satan also meets in these meetings because Satan also is well aware of those who belong to him and those who belong to God because he's seeking whom he may devour, not whom he has already devoured in 1 Peter 5:8. So he's looking for us, the Christians. He's not messing with the lost person. Now, he's got them. There's no need even fooling with them. I would not rock the boat. He does it. He's very clever. He's very sly. He's got them. He's going after us. But he gets there, and when he does, I love it. Man, you tell me something. Now, this is powerful stuff. You think about Job for a minute. Out of all the believers, God, in this meeting with those who are reporting among those believers on earth, Satan comes up and he says, have you considered Job? God mentioned his name because he believed he was sold out to him. And I wonder how many times God mentions, well, Satan, have you considered Brian Hicks? Have you considered Joe Turner? Have you considered Charles Gray? How about Mike Jones? And our names are mentioned in heaven based upon your performance. Your praise, your prayers, your performance. Now, this might have been just once in a while occasion that Satan shows up for this meeting. Oh no. I will prove to you that this is not just an occasion. Look with me now, if you will, in the second chapter of Job. The Bible says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now watch, stop for a minute. I thought a while ago because of the wording in the Word of God in chapter 1 that, okay, God was kind of taken a little bit by surprise that Satan showed up. The same exact wording is used in 1 and in 2. It says, look what the Lord says in chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, watch, verbatim, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, he tells him verbatim the same thing this time. He says, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? told him again. Because he did not fail God the first time. He lost everything he had. But he did not curse him. It's the same approach. Satan has come back in this meeting again. This is not just, they meet on regularity. They're still meeting today. And these sons of God who know you in and out, they report to God on heaven's floor. And Satan is able to move from earth to heaven's floor. And he visits with God and the sons of God. And you are a topic of conversation as believers. It is your performance that has already preceded you in heaven. It is already there. And you're not even present yet. But old Job didn't give in, did he? I love that. I'm not going to preach on that, but I wish I could right now. I don't want to be a Job, but I want to be like a Job. There's nobody in this world that's ever lost like Job lost. We've all had some bad stories. But you ain't never had no 10 caskets in your house at one time, because back then they didn't have no funeral parlor. You put the casket in the house, you ain't never had no, you might be had caskets. You might have lost a handful of family, but you never had 10 dead bodies in your house. And friends coming from afar saying, Job, what have you done? Have you sinned? His wife standing over him. Maybe his helpmate. Oh, just curse God and die. I will not curse God and die. My performance matters. God is counting on me. And I don't want to let him down. Your praise is there. Your prayers are there. Your performance is there. And they meet often about you. And I hope that Satan can't put his finger in my Father's face. And I told you, God, that if I could distract them a little bit with their job, I told you, if they would lose their money or lose someone close to them, that they would bow down and serve me and curse your name. And there have been occasions where the devil has been able to get right there in the face of God and say, I told you so. They did not serve you because of who you were. They served you because of what you give them. I serve God because I love Him and I love the very presence of God. There are a lot of materialistic things I get wrapped up and caught up in and want, but I will tell you this, my dear friend. May we learn of Job and remember one thing. It is always about God and nothing else. And your performance will continue to stand in glory. Fourthly and lastly, your name are there. Watch this very closely. I'm going to clear something up for you, a matter of confusion that has been lasting a long time, and I'm going to let you get out of here, and you can go take me wherever you want to take me to. I think the concept has been for a long time that you must be saved in order for your name to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. You listen to me closely now, because this could very well be a controversial issue, but I'm going to tell you the truth today. I believe that the concept and the way that we're indirectly taught that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life because you got saved. Wrong. Everybody's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now listen to me closely, and I want you to look at Scripture because I'm going to base it on Scripture and not on my opinion. Okay? Because I know this is a controversial issue. Or it's going to be. Look with me now, if you will, in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5. Now I want to start at verse 1, but verse 5 is going to be our key verse. You make note of that. Revelation 3:1, "And the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before the Lord, for God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch," listen to me, and let's go back to verse 3. "And remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." A few names! "Which hath not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." No one wears white unless they are worthy. Verse 4 goes on to say, "And thou hast a few names, even in Sardis." But look at verse 5. "He that overcometh," overcometh what? Sin. Sin is black. Sin separates you from God. If you offend the law in one point, you have offended it in all ways. Those that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And watch this. "I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." The name is there. It was God's will that no man perish. And it says here that he will blot out the name. Your name is blotted out if you're not an overcomer of sin. God does not take his book and when you do good, write your name in. And when you do bad, he erase. And when you do good, write it in. And when you do bad, erase. And when you do good, write it in. And when you do bad, he erase. No, my friend. I will read on now from Exodus 32:32. "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin," this is Moses talking about the sin of the Israelites, the one God was ready to wipe off the map, "and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." He declared that the Israelites and their names were written in the Lamb's book of life in spite of all of their sin. And Moses said, "Don't blot their name out. You can't blot it out if it ain't already there." But he said, "Blot my name out." It is not God's will that any man should perish, but by free will we make the choice. If not, we would believe in predestination. To the point that only so many people are going to be saved, and they're already labeled by God, and there's already so many people who are not going to get saved in spite of our efforts and in spite of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe that. We believe that God's Son died for all men. And it is up to them whether or not they choose to accept Him. I will read on in another verse. Psalm 69:28. "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living," which is the book of life, "and not be written with the righteous." Wait just a minute. He said, "Let them be blotted out of the book and not be written with the righteous." That means that there are unrighteous names that dwell among the righteous names. That's Psalm 69:28. "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." The names are recorded. Let me go back now to Revelation 3:5. "Now he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment and will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before Father and before the angels." It means this. The name is recorded. Because hell was designed not for man. If this book was standing before you were ever here, then that means that God knew all along that the Satan and the angels were going to make their mistake, and he was going to make a place called hell for Satan and his following, and it was never intended for man. But man violated their covenant with God. And doing so, we all have an opportunity, as our names are written, for Jesus Christ to stand in heaven where your name is written and confess you before God Almighty and His angels. But he whom does not overcome the sin that you are living in, because you have an opportunity till you draw your last breath to fulfill what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And if you choose to be an undercomer instead of an overcomer, then he will at that time blot your name out, because the unrighteous cannot stay with the righteous. Your name is in heaven, recorded and written. You have till your dying breath to determine whether or not it will be blotted or will it be confessed before God. I want to close like this. Your praise is there. Your prayers are there. Your performance is there. And your name is there. But can I tell you that your name is what these three already there are listed on. Nothing matters unless your name is kept. I know in the Bible it talks about how hell, and many people use it, that it enlarges, but the Bible says that it's like hell, it desires to enlarge. I believe that desire to enlarge is because hell was never designed for man to go. It was only designed big enough to keep Satan and his angels. But hell, unlike heaven, desires to enlarge because it can't hold all of the unexpected gifts. And very simply, I'm reminded today of what puts people in hell when they've already got possessions in heaven. Sin. Sin. And we deal, and we deal, and we deal. But until we deal completely, and I use the word completely underlined, with Christ, you will not become an overcomer. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. I love Him. I'm not perfect, but I serve Him and I'm forgiven. And I want to encourage you today as God's people. Or maybe if you're here and you're not God's people, you can be. And I want you to be encouraged today by the truth of the Word of God. But I want you to be encouraged today that we have more of the reason to go there. Because God keeps a record and an account of those things that we're doing down here. And what we do down here will determine a world of difference when we get to heaven. You cannot come back. And I encourage you today to be strengthened in the Lord, to move forward, to be God's people, and to be proud of who you are because of whom you serve. And let the world know that you're God's man, that you're God's woman, that you're God's teenager, that you're God's young person, because we need to continue in the efforts of shining. Because before we know it, we'll all be standing in heaven. Those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to have a big room full of surprises about what I was able to put up down here. Put your treasures up. Where moth nor dust can corrupt. Where a thief can't break in. How are we not living in an era where we realize that all of our savings and our money that was so secure in banks that were federally approved and insured, and we see where all these 401ks and all these things that were a sure thing gone or cut to nothing. I will tell you the only sure and steadfast things are those things that we put up in heaven, because I will tell you there is a guardian there. There is a God there that no thief will break in and no moth nor dust will corrupt. So I encourage us to take our efforts and not only understand that last week that Jesus Christ invested so much in us, but that we should be investing so much into Him. Not just for a reward, but I want you to understand that there are great rewards. And it's more than just a pat on the back and say, attaboy. It's worth it. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to just come and spend some time with the Lord. Whatever that need may be or whatever that praise may be, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So will you stand with your feet, if you will? Will you bow your head just for a moment in a word of prayer as we look for God and look to His face? Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we thank You that we are here. And God, we thank You so much that these people have assembled. And Lord, we realize what is already in heaven. And God, we look forward to the day that, listen, there's none of us, God, that want to go to hell. But God, every one of us want to go to heaven. But God, may we be encouraged this morning as Your people. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, we are saved. We are kept. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. God, we're Your children. We're royalty. And God, we are heirs to the kingdom of heaven. But God, may You help us this morning in our efforts to do all we can do here on earth in the time in which You have given us. And understand this morning that it's never too late to give to God and to further build the kingdom of heaven, for our rewards are great. Be with us now, Lord, as we make decisions for You.